bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hello and welcome into the Bottom Line, a Tuesday edition here on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Chris Nee, Tyler Carrasco hanging out with you as we take you all the way up to 3 o'clock, full 3 hours here on the Bottom Line, live from the First United Bank Studio. You can reach us in a couple different ways. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline. That's open for you, 806-771-0973. Or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that welcome there. Don't forget, you can take us anywhere with you with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. We are on AM 950, streaming live on YouTube and on Fox 34 News Now. A College World Series champ has been crowned.
And were they.
And crowned by, like, the third inning. The LSU Tigers, after being dominated in Game 2, do a little domination of their own in Game 3. Win by 14 runs, Sneed.
What it do?
What's up, Sneed?
What it do? Yeah, that was all over about the crying there and behind about the fourth inning. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sixth spot kind of changed the complexion of that game in a hurry.
And who would it have been worse? Because it's bad either way if you know, from either team that you lose it, right? Because if you're LSU and you lose it, well, you know, you got that first win knocked out of the way, and odds immediately go into your favor.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag Hunger Games. And then Florida, then you just knock them around, and you're going, okay, well, what kind of LSU are going to see in Game 3 after just being deflated? And so you're Florida, well, you bounce back.
Yeah.
I mean, which would it have been worse for?
I think in this, these kids have been playing games. It's like Game 70 for these guys. They've had situations where they've won big and had to come back. I mean, the thing for Florida that you fear is that, okay, these guys are, it became such a laugher so early that these guys lose focus. And I was more worried about Florida not coming back and being able to maintain the same intensity the next day than I was about LSU being able to flush that and come back and put up a fight the next day, which they did. So sometimes when you have that big laugher, you know, in a bounce back game, it almost works against you. I mean, you know, when it was 12-4, what's the difference between 12-4 and 24-4?
Yeah.
Other than 12 runs, the obvious. But I mean,
math. But other than that, but no, but the hole that you're in.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, when it was 12-4. You know, LSU wasn't coming back. You saw in the way that they went to the bottom of their bullpen, and you saw guys that you hadn't seen pitch in any games here. That 99 dude, the number 99 guy, all I remember from that guy is seeing that guy in the dugout, and the only reason I can remember him is because he had number 99 on. I said, when are we going to see this 99 guy get in? And sure enough, there's 99 holding a mop, cleaning up the mess that was made on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, to your 12-4, 24-4, because that doesn't change how well LSU's pitching staff threw last night.
Oh, they shoved on them last night. They shoved on Florida.
And the question of are you going to see Skeens maybe getting inning here? And they were doing the Skeens watch the whole game. You didn't have to worry about that.
The intent was for Skeens to be in that game. Mm-hmm. And I think that the wheels coming off for Florida even surprised LSU, because it got to a point where it was like, well, we don't even need Skeens now.
Right, and that's what our discussion yesterday was for, like, can you use him? And the whole thought process was expecting Game 3 to be a game, and it just wasn't so.
I think Skeens had probably told them, I can give you somewhere between 20 and 40 pitches, which is probably why they agreed to roll him out of the bullpen. But, you know, they don't need to use their closer. They don't need to use, Skeens. It turns out they're going to just get their starters, going to go out there and shove. And then their first reliever is going to come in and be real good. And then they get it to Guidry, and Guidry is good. And not a whole lot of, you know.
And ultimately, what a College World Series, because it was focused, and it should have been, focused on Skeens. What a College World Series for Thatcher Hurd, who gets the win against Wake Forest, ultimately, and then gets the series-capping win against Florida after Florida just couldn't stop hitting it over the wall. What a performance from him.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it, the whole College World Series, it was such a great World Series with close games, very few games that were more than three-run differential. And then you get, you know, the overtime, the extra innings, first-round game. You thought, okay, this championship series. And then Sunday night happens, and then you come back with a Monday night game that's just another blowout. And, my Lord, it's like the World Series ended with a thud.
Well, I was going to ask, just like from a viewership standpoint, because clearly, and if Florida would have been on the other side of this, mm-hmm. they wouldn't have cared either. Clearly, LSU does not care. They just wanted the College World Series win. But from a viewership standpoint, did it sour it for you? Not sour,
no, it didn't sour for me. But I, you know what? This game was not in question after the fourth inning. Yeah. And the funny part about it was, in the early part of that game, that crowd was blue and purple and gold, and then blue and orange. Mm-hmm. I mean, it tilted a little towards LSU. So I'd put it at 60-40, maybe 65-35. But by the end of that game, I think everybody that was in the parking lots that didn't have tickets to that game, everyone that was hanging around, anyone that was in the upper level, they were all down there around the bowl mm-hmm. in the fourth, in the last innings. Because, I mean, there was no orange. You saw the orange fan, orange and blue walking out, and boy, I tell you, LSU fans, they filled in, because it looked like there was probably more people from LSU there at the end of the game than there were at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. And as far as going back to Skeens real quick, something that I appreciated that didn't happen, and the announcers were throwing this out there a couple of times, again, every time they went on Skeens watch, was once you realized you weren't going to need him, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, you weren't going to need whatever pitch count he was going to be on if the situation arose where he was going to have to come in and shut him down for an inning or something like that. I'm glad that after they realized that, they didn't force it just to see him in the final series, right? Even if it was
there
just
was no need for that.
Because they were throwing that, is he going to come back in inning number nine? Is he going to come back? He didn't need to.
There's no need for that.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem, again, I mean,
you don't need to put that guy in
face value. It doesn't seem like Skeens is that type of guy either.
That
like
guy is about to get drafted in the top three picks and make a signing bonus, somewhere north of $3-4 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I wouldn't be shocked at all. He's going to get dumped into high A ball, and he's going to spend a little time there, and he's going to finish his season in double A. And be on the 40-man roster, probably to go into spring training next year.
I'm generally curious, after we look down three MLB drafts from now,
mm-hmm.
how many legit first rounders we just watched. Like in the entire go to the Final Four from with TCU and Wake Forest in there included.
Yeah.
How many first rounders you just watched?
That's a good question. I mean, how many guys that maybe were, top five round picks, does somebody play themselves into a first round, someone play themselves into a sandwich pick situation? Yeah. I mean, if you're a top five rounder, you're a stud. You're a baller if you get drafted at all. But if you're a top five pick, you're a stud.
So bottom line, 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. We'll take a look at, we'll do some detective work on some San Diego State letters. We'll also unveil the bottom line's new mascot.
Very excited. Yeah, apparently we got a new mascot living down there with my daughter there in Aspermont.
All that and more here on the bottom line, 100.7 The Score next.
Bringing you the truth or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Face tap. What are the terms and conditions?
There ain't enough money. There ain't enough anything in the world that'll
tat it up, Captain Steve.
No.
Just a Neil a doobie doo right here on the cheek. Yeah. Throwing some pocket sand across the nose.
No.
Nothing?
No.
There's not a situation?
There is not a price point. There is not a money level. There is not a gift exchange that could require or result in me.
What is the gift exchange of that? What's the
offer?
Well,
a gift that you would give with me, give to me, that would say, if I gave you this, keys to a Lamborghini, something like that, an island house in the Bahamas. I mean, I just can't. No.
If, let's say, now this is getting to the clearly impossible, but this is a ridiculous question anyways, based off what we're watching in front of us. If someone came to me and said, you get to pick out the tattoo, but it has to be like this minimum size, but I'm going to pay you like $1 million a year, and be like, okay, I don't have to do anything for it, just the tattoo? Okay.
No.
I'd do it.
No.
I'd do it.
Not me.
I'd be known as the snake guy.
I just can't. I just can't. I mean, I don't understand this fascination with tattooing your face. You know that's going to be there when you're 70, right? That doesn't wash away with age.
Do you know what's interesting? And I'm sure it's out there, but you don't really see the 70-year-olds that have had the face tattoos, right?
Are you saying that their life expectancy is not going to make it to 70?
I would say maybe it's just... Maybe I haven't been looking around hard enough, but you just don't really see
living
them
that lifestyle. Well, that well, the face tat, you know, that's kind of more of a pretty recent phenomenon. And
so we're gonna get there.
I think you're gonna get there with because look at the guys you see that right now that are face tat guys. They're in their 20s. Mm-hmm. You know, they got blank you money going around right now. You know, so I mean, and they don't care about anything. They're millennials essentially. You know, I think, right? Would you believe that? Millennials?
I would believe that.
Look at the Gen X guy sitting on the stage with him. He's like, yeah, I'm not doing this.
This on the chat line. People with face tats don't expect to live to 70.
That's exactly right. I kind of think that right there. And then, you know what? I mean, if I got a face tat, I'd almost be cashing in my chip to say, I don't plan to make it to 70. I'm going to live a fast 40. You know?
I'll tell you what, though. Like, if you are, like, visiting your grandma in the retirement home or something like that, and you cross, you know, you walk across the guy that has the face tats and he's there and he's like in his 80s, I can guarantee you I'm going to sit down with that person and ask him some questions.
Sure.
Because he probably has some very interesting life stories.
I mean, I can think of two reasons that you end up with a face tat. Is that you don't... You know, there are zero blanks given left in your life, or you lost a bet. That's the only two things I can think at this point.
Man, the face tat lost the bet. The reward better have been worth it if you had won.
Oh, man. No.
Yeah. Because if it was like, my friend gets the face tat if he loses, but you don't get anything out of it, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? This on the chat line, I would go half Post Malone for an island house in the Bahamas.
You mean face tats there?
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. No. I gotta be able to look at myself in the mirror. I gotta be able to look at my kids, you know, and say, you know, I mean, because I look at a guy with a face tat, I can't take that guy seriously for something serious. You know what I'm saying? If that guy is coming to my office and asking me for a, you know, and this maybe I'm painting with a broad brush. I'm absolutely painting with a broad brush here. If face tat guy shows up to my office and he's asking me for, I mean, I've made all the judgments in the world.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you're reading, why do you have April written across your forehead? What did you say again? Can you ask me the question again?
Noah Gertz.
Noah Gertz.
I mean.
hey, we teased this. Very excited. Yeah, Can we unveil our new official bottom line mascot?
Yeah, I guess so. Daughter number one, about 10 days ago, tells me that she sends me a text with a picture of her holding a deer. A baby deer, a fawn, if you will. And I said, I sent back to her, I was in the car and I turned on the little voice thing and I said, Cassidy, what in the actual hell are you doing? And she says, his name is Franklin. Franklin was a baby deer.
Oh, as soon as it's named, yes, that thing stands forever.
I said, Cassidy, deer, you know that's a wild animal. And she goes, yes, I know. And I said, someone's probably looking for it also, you know, as, you know, a mama deer.
Yeah. Yeah, not another person.
Yeah. And someone dropped it off. Her husband owns the feed store down in Aspermont. And someone dropped it off there. And Cassidy, lover of all animals, you know, Dr. Doolittle herself, you know, just took it in. And she said, we're not going to keep it. And I was just like, I have heard those words before. Mm-hmm. So it had a name. And so this morning, 10 days later, she sends me a text this morning that says, guess who's still here? And it's Franklin. And she said, I still have a pet deer. And I sent her facepalm emoji again.
I'm excited.
So I guess so. I mean, I guess Franklin is now the official fawn of the bottom line.
Official mascot / like next sidekick to Captain Sneeru.
His sidekick, Franklin. Da 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 da.
Maybe give him a little cape or something. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And it's all three kiddos. We know two of three. We know two of three have a soft spot for the animals. All three.
Yeah. Cassidy is she's the Dr. Doolittle though. She's taker in of all animals, foreign or domestic. You know, she provides aid and comfort to all enemies. She's the treasonous child. Because she's going to bring home an animal that's going to end up living with me.
Maybe Franklin. Who knows?
Yeah, Franklin's not living with me.
Oh, man.
No, I'm going to accidentally leave the back gate open for Franklin. Sorry, Franklin.
No, you wouldn't do that to the bottom line's official mascot. Come on.
But she, at her house right now, they live out in the country. So it's actually fine that Franklin lives there. I mean, they have a farm. They've got two cows. They've got about three or four goats. They've got chickens.
They're in the right spot.
Yeah, I mean, what's another baby deer going to bother anybody?
Right. You know? It's not like they've a got, mouse. You know,
and they've got like four dogs, three of which is theirs. One just kind of moved in, you know, and it just kind of hangs out.
You needed a fourth dog for your says studio apartment, but this is just like a field. Is it cool if I still move
Franklin the deer is I guess we could provide Franklin the deer updates. I don't know. One day she's going to call me and say Franklin's gone. That's what's going to happen. That's how it always happens.
Hmm.
So
what do you mean always happens? What's the story?
The cats usually don't make it very long.
That's rough for barn cats.
Yeah, like they
that's a rough life.
Yeah,
out there.
Yeah,
I mean,
predators. I'm assuming that Franklin the deer is probably going to be often. You know, but. Kaylee down there, she's got her cat, Ash.
What was the conversation? Because surely she had a conversation with the zoologist, Kaylee.
I said, you should probably call your sister about this. And she says, I already have. We be talking. And I was like, okay. I should call Kaylee. I said, you signed off on this?
Yeah. You support this?
You're Captain Conservation over there, and now someone's...
A lot of captains in the Sneeru family.
Wild animal over here. Captains and doctors all over the place.
Captains and doctors everywhere. Yeah. Oh, man. This on the chat line. Talking about it on the radio is a good way to get formally introduced to a Texas game warden.
Thank you. Hey, Texas game warden, can you go to her house and take that away? Yes, I would love that. I mean, I formally... formally asking a Texas game warden to go save my daughter from herself.
I love game wardens.
They're my too. Favorite. Hey, I think Lone Star Law is awesome. And you know, if Kaylee wasn't a aquatic biologist, rainforest biologist, whatever she is, I think she would be an awesome game warden.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. We're rooting for you, Franklin. Proud of you.
We'll find out.
Best mascot ever. It's the bottom line 100.7 score. Back with more next. It's time to review some picks here on the bottom line for blind projections. You've got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Kyler Carrasco, which means that we'll be heading into the off season until football rolls back around. We'll get into some of our preseason layout closer to time, you know, so we can get some reps and stuff. So we're really on fire and the wheels are rolling by the time the season gets here. Jamie, are you excited for the off season?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not really a guy that thrives in picking games.
We'll see if that's true with the final record. Although, to be fair, apparently neither are Flip Flop or Matt Estensen, who have selected for you a few times.
Fair.
They did possibly did not help out your cause. All right, let's get into it.
I'm just not very good.
You won the morning drive, didn't you?
Of course I did. But that's like, I mean, playing cards with my nephews or my brother's kids or something. What's that
you were
say?
There. You were there. My brother's kids.
Yeah.
All right. We picked games back Thursday, so a few things to catch up on. Of course, Rangers were at the Yankees while we were picking this, kicking off the series on that Thursday. New York won this series 2-1. Myself and Kyler, who picked for the producers this round, in a rare example of a producer getting to pick and then also seeing their picks.
Mm-hmm.
We took the Rangers. Jamie, you took the Yankees wisely as you get the first point.
Exciting.
Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
We also picked the number of hits for Josh Young in the series. He went 3-for-12. Jamie and I both said 4. We were closest to the pin. We both pick up a point here. Kyler said 5. Houston was at Los Angeles taking on the Dodgers. We all took L.A. here, one of the few where we all went simpatico. We all pick up a point as the Dodgers were 2-1 against the Strohs in this series. Pretty good little barking moment there. What, in game 2? After the strikeout post-balk
call? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was a little mad. A little angry. The Angels, we stuck with an AL West theme, were at the Rockies for a 3-game series. Rockies, who were just stumbling into this series at the time, and the Angels, who were on fire. I said the Angels would win 3 games. Jamie, you said the Angels would win 2 games. Kyler accurately predicted 1 win for the Angels. So Kyler gets the point. Kansas City was at Tampa Bay for a 4-game series. We picked the numbers of Royals wins. The Royals took 2. Take that, Rays.
Wow.
You should feel terrible that you split a series with that team.
Yes.
Jamie and I said that the Royals would win 1 game. Kyler, again, gets the point. She said 2 wins.
She's on fire.
We go back to I take it back to a time where Wake Forest and LSU were playing each other in a very hyped game where Skeens and Louder were your starting pitchers. We picked the winning pitcher. I said Louder. Know what you're thinking. Well, that must mean that Jamie and Kyler had it correct. They did not, because they picked Skeens, but Thatcher Hurd was your winning pitcher. No points. No one gets a point there. We also said, how many games would the Call of World Series go? It would go 3. Kyler and I said 3. We both get a point. Jamie said 2. We picked the winner, not even knowing who the final official 2 were. I said Wake Forest, who didn't even make it. Good job, Demon Deacons.
So he loses a point, right?
No. Well, you both said Florida. No points were awarded. We gotta set these rules like that where you're just throwing out points taken away.
Mm.
Mm. We then went to the NBA draft, as it was that night, for the 3rd overall pick. It was Scoot Henderson. I said it was Scoot. You guys split the Twins as projections with Amin and Azura Thompson. Yeah. I was completely blanked on their last name for a second. I get the point there with Scoot. And then we said how many Big 12 players would be drafted. There was 4. Jamie said 3. Kyler said 2. I pick up the point with 4. And ultimately, I go 5-5, pick up the win for the week. Kyler, for the producers, goes 4-6. Jamie, in the final week, goes 3-7. So there you have it. Final records. Producers were 3-6 this year with a 41-49 overall record. Jamie 1-8 with a 34-56 record, and I was 5-4 with a 52-38 record, earning this solid gold blind projection trophy.
Do you get the feeling that Clint just does this so he can honor himself?
It did feel weird writing blind projections winner on the trophy and then baseball on the back. Now I have two, so I'd remember which one was for which.
Right.
This is heavy. These things are always heavier than you think they are.
Yeah.
I will now be drinking the rest of my Red Bull out of this to celebrate.
We have this bite that we play on the morning drive where Chuck says, I don't mean to brag, but I'm the best at doing this. I mean, you and your pops, man, you guys are just the same guy. Pops Hines.
Oh, I thought you meant the drink.
No, you and your Pop Hines.
Oh, get out of here with that. I actually have some other postseason awards to give out, just two. You know, because you got to pick, like, all Big 12 and all that sort of stuff. Rookie of the Year.
Runner-up and second runner-up.
Yeah, winning second place with producers. Bronze medal was Jamie.
No, it's participation, like, medal.
Yeah. You give me a tapioca ribbon, so help me Clint. I'm going to rip that in half.
I didn't have real ones, just you guys get the title. Jamie actually wins XFL expert. He did the best in the XFL this year. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And between the team of producers, Kyler wins most valuable producer MVP. Oh, she had the most wins picked.
That's a given. It was against Brennan.
Yeah. Well, Jeff was in there too, for one.
Again, that's a given.
Not helping. So, congratulations to the MVP and the expert.
How can I win that award when I cannot name one XFL team?
I don't know. Existence? But you were on fire this year with the XFL.
Yeah, multiple guess.
Multiple choice?
Mm-hmm.
Multiple guess?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So. All right. That was a good season. Can we call Coach Lint to the stand?
Definitely not.
Coach Lint?
No. I just
Clint
said
Scott
no.
From the CS Gazette.
I'm sorry.
What are your focuses now that you're headed into the off season? What do you need to work on?
I'm sorry, media members, but Coach Lint is he's a little under the weather. He is not going to be able to come out and do said media appearance. He'll be available after next week's game if he's in the mood.
Boo! If he's in the mood
to chit chat with you people,
man. Boo. Get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. A very important question from Red Raider Two Guns. Bacon or sausage with pancakes?
I almost always pick bacon, no matter what it's with.
I usually go bacon. Preferably you get the like breakfast plate where you can get a combo.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the... because I generally... like sausage dipped in syrup, but bacon to me is the better protein with some breakfast.
I like them both.
Yeah, I mean, I like them both too. But,
yeah.
Shelly says sausage with the syrup. Need a t-shirt with Chuck's rules on it too.
Ooh.
How many does he have now? Does that count at?
Well, on the front, it's just rule number one. It's all about Chuck.
Yeah.
No, on the back, it has the other, I think, 11 or 12, whatever it is.
11 or 12?
Yeah.
He adds those, right? As he hears things that he likes?
He's, I think Dickens added one for him. I think it was What's the Win.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. That's been pretty recent then, huh?
That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping for a win tonight. Astros at Cardinals, 6:15 right here on 100.7 The Score. 6:30 over on Double T 97.3. It is the Rangers versus the Tigers. The Rangers losing yesterday, but now have lost three in a row. Not quite a slump, but looking to pick things back up, certainly, over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, you've scored 0, 3, and 2 over your last three in that losing streak. So I'm going to get the offense going again.
It's the bottom line, 100.7 the score, 107thescore.com. Take versus take when we come back.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 the score.
It's time for the fastest growing game show in the world. It's just growing and growing and growing as we keep going and going and going. It is take versus take here on the bottom line. You've got us at 100.7 the score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Kyler Carrasco. Kyler and I are your competitors. We have Kyler, Katie, Kathy, Cassandra. Who's behind the glass today?
Just Kyler. I've been doing decently well with take versus take, but that doesn't mean I'm automatically going to do good today, but I feel pretty good.
You were like almost confident? And then
it's like you backhanded. I never want to be too confident yourself. Because I don't want to crash and burn. So
you don't want to be
just
let
kind
down.
Of in the middle.
Kyler, are you sitting in a lower chair today?
I don't think so.
It feels like she's like a little kid with her head just trying to get up to the edge of the table.
To be fair, that chair has a drastic change from as high as it can go and as low as it can go in there. I always sit in it with it real, real high. I think Lucas, I think he likes it sunken.
The shortest one. That makes sense.
The shortest one. Well, if it's too high, he has to kick his feet like a little kid, and he doesn't like that. So
that's how my feet are right now, even when it's on the lowest one. They're just...
All right, here we go. Clint, we'll ask you first. There's only one sports question in here. First question, Clint, what is the best summertime drink?
Oh, man. I'll just go with my favorite, but I also think that when you like do advertising and you're advertising something in the summer, what do you are like, you know, husband's working in the yard, right? And he's trying to like weed eating stuff and he's wiping the sweat off of his brow. And what do you always get brought out? Lemonade. And lemonade is fantastic. It's not too sweet. You can control how you make it too, which is nice. So that's why it kind of beats like a Coke or a Dr. Pepper or something like that, because those are pre-made for you, right? Mm-hmm. So I also like lemonade a little bit more than tea. Give me a lemonade as your summer refresher.
You don't make your own Dr. Pepper?
Not anymore. Not after the Dr. Pepper lab in the apartment exploded. The sticky mess everywhere.
I want to go to that.
No, you don't.
I
not anymore.
Have one in the lab.
The syrup is all over the walls.
Oh. mine's going to be an ocean water. Oh. I just refreshing, and they have a bunch of different flavors in it or like different drinks in it mixed together. So
I think Clint sounds more refreshing right now. Yeah. Lemonade is good when it's hot.
Yep. I can pound lemonade too.
Yeah.
It was wild.
I always picture it being super, super cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when it's funny because like in shows and commercials, it's always brought out in like a glass. You get the nice little condensation drip down it.
Sure.
Have you ever drank out of a glass outside? Like, it's exclusively been solo cups for me.
Yes, I have.
Why?
Like, on weekend mornings, I like to take my breakfast and go out onto the back patio. And I drink my orange juice out of a glass.
Okay, well, point taken.
Hey, all right, point for me. One for Jamie, one for Clint. Kyler's at zero. I got a chance to win this thing.
You going pulp and free or?
Yes, no phlegm, as I like to call it.
Ugh. I don't like pulp anyways, but especially when you put it that way.
Yeah. I'm out on that stuff.
No phlegm.
Who wants that?
I don't. Yeah, you know what I want my drink to have? Texture. I want to chew my drink.
I want it to feel like part of the cap fell off and is in the drink.
Could I get some of my milk curdled too while you're at it?
Yeah.
Yummy.
Okay, question number two. Kyler, you're first. Which of the non-major sports, as of right now, not when you were a kid, do you wish you could get really good at?
I think I'm going to say gymnastics. I did it when I was younger, but not long enough to be like to do it good. Cause those people are insane. Like the stuff that
super
they
athletic.
Do. Yes. And also, I got too tall also, so I would have had to be shorter to do it. But I think that would be cool to be really good at.
Clint?
Now, when you say non-major, you mean like past the big three?
Yeah.
Okay, so if it's past the big three and that's the only limit, it's golf for me. Are you kidding me? Those guys make so much money for just, you know, finishing in the top whatever cut is at that. The purses are big, and the places that they get to go to compete are beautiful. Like, I would totally go back and be a golfer. It feels like win-win. And third win, that is a sport you can play forever. I have had my tail kicked in Childress, Texas by an 80-plus-year-old who just kept on hitting it straight down the fairway. I was like, oh, thanks for inviting me out here and making me feel bad about myself.
Oh, that was golf? I figured that was basketball.
Well, he did that next. Basketball was next. It was pretty much just everything. He just kept on going down the line. We played some one-on-one football. He speared me right in half.
I kind of meant it as, like, not that you had become a professional, but now as an adult. Like, not that you were really good before, so you made it to the PGA Tour, but just, like, right now. Okay. For all of those reasons, I think Clint has the better answer. Kyler, I want to know, like, if you were a good gymnast now, what would you do with it? I mean, would you cartwheel down the hallway here?
Could someone
help
me?
They do it in college, and they go to the Olympics. I can go to the Olympics.
But we're just, like, living real life. I mean, are you doing, like, off the high dive, triple flips down at South Padre right next week?
Yeah, and to the ocean. I'm just going to tumble, like, all the way down the beach into the ocean.
Yeah.
Okay, we need someone to change out this light bulb. I can do it with flips.
And one of those little things that...
the ribbon. Dancing. I know that, like, the people that do the gymnastics ribbon dancing, they have trained that, and there's cardio to it. I can't take that serious. I think that is the funniest thing to watch in the world. Because I'm like, you're an Olympic athlete.
The same goes for curling.
Okay. All right, like over there.
Brooming off.
It is funny. Like, again, I know that it does something, but it doesn't look like it's doing much.
Yeah. Kyler, were you just cheating? Were you getting answers from somebody on the phone?
Yeah, they were telling me I deserved the point.
Okay.
Too bad.
Clint has won. He's up 2-0. He goes for a sweep.
Going for a sweep.
All right, you got to give me a why on this one. Which men's hairstyle is better, the man bun or the mullet?
Well, I guess I won't give you an X since you want a Y. A little alphabet joke there for you. No, it's
Kyler gets the point.
Come on. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. It was worth it. It is very, 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 very clear to me that it is the mullet. Right? Because if you're around a person that has a mullet, you know that you are in for a good... You are not in for a bad time if you're around a person with a mullet. You are about to have some fun. It's probably going to be wild. It's going to be wild and woolly out there, but it is going to be a blast. There's a good chance that if I'm around a person with a man bun, I'm going to be annoyed within 5 minutes at that person. Now, look, I know... There's not stats in front of me to back it up, but I feel like more times than not, I have had fun around someone with a mullet, and I have been annoyed around the person with a man bun.
Kyler?
I don't even know what to say. You just said all the right words.
Finally!
Automatically, Kyler loses the point for saying Clint is right.
I think man buns are just, like, gross. I think they just look like you don't shower, and it's just, I don't like the way they look.
What about do you...
And it's usually people with, like... Or the ones I've seen are people with, like, pretty thin hair. It's long, but it's, like, thin. So it's, like... It's in a bun, but it's not in a bun, if you know what I mean.
Oh, and yeah. And I just... We know what you...
No, I don't. I don't, really. Like, but, like, I don't need you to explain it to me.
If you know what I mean.
Okay. I 100% am against you two on this one.
What?
I have to give a point to one of you. I'm going to give it to Kyler. You won already, Clint. It doesn't matter.
I want the sweep.
It doesn't matter.
Sweep the leg.
I disagree. I see a mullet And I wouldn't want a mullet because I would think it makes me look like a poor person.
Jamie's left lifestyle. He's never going back.
I already am poor. I don't need to look like I'm poor. So I don't want a mullet.
The description of a mullet literally has the word party in it. In the front.
Yeah. Party in the back.
Business in the front, party in the back. And there's business and party in it. Right? Facing this way? Oh, can I help you do your taxes? Spin around? Hop in the back of the truck. We're about to go mudding.
I've never let anybody do my taxes.
Man bun eats like quinoa or something. It's the bottom line, 100.7 the score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 the score.
Said you felt really embarrassed. You shouldn't. Did you go and watch it last night?
I did not. Didn't really have any time.
Maybe tonight.
Possibly. I would definitely tell you, Clint, that is one that if I stumble across it, yeah, I'm stuck.
What? Okay. So there's a few movies that are like, most of the Star Wars are like that for me. If it's on, I will usually, and I'm not like, I know every single planet and every single dialect and every, like, all the lore. But for the most part, if one of the Star Wars, and it used to happen to me when I was a kid a lot, I'm like, Spike, they used to have it on there.
Okay.
But now, you know, if I see it on TBS or whatever, I'll usually watch those.
This is a good take versus take question. Rocky movies.
Okay, yeah.
I will stick with the Rocky movies. Oh, man. How am I forgetting this? Independence Day. For whatever reason, I seem to always stick with that one. Field of Dreams, Waterworld. pretty much anything.
Kevin Costner.
Anything Kevin Costner. those are ones that I stick with. What's the one I'm thinking of? Armageddon.
Say that again?
Armageddon.
Down the road with Armageddon. My mullet.
Yeah. Which is pretty much just like Independence Day.
Yeah. Wasn't that the rival?
I didn't know they were rivals. But it makes sense.
No. Armageddon, there was a movie that came out with it that was like the same plot line where they were going to an asteroid or whatever.
I thought.
And it felt like a little bit of a ripoff.
But those are definitely ones that, like, I stay. Oh, in the Jurassic Park movies.
Yes. That's on my list.
But Jurassic Park movies.
Yes.
Yep. Every one of them.
I have watched, I think the first two Jurassic Parks, the first way I watched it was piecing it together on TV before I actually watched them as a whole, because I didn't go watch them as a kid in theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kyler, do you have any that you just can't miss? Can't miss Kyler TV?
Honestly, I don't really watch TV movies that much. Honestly, if I do, it's like if there's one in the movie theater that's like really good that I want to see. But mostly it's just like sports that I'll be watching on TV.
It's like a different generation. Like, I think they've missed out on just flipping through the TV channels and randomly finding something you like. Because your generation just, okay, I'm going to stream something on Netflix or whatever. And I go to it and I find a movie. You don't flip back and forth. You don't learn the skill of flipping between the channels, okay, and not missing anything important, right?
Right.
It's like, you know, and they also don't, this generation never experienced the pure joy of listening to their favorite radio station or whatever and hoping that your favorite song or the new cool song came on, and it came on while you were listening. That's like, wow, this is the greatest thing ever. It's okay to, like, hear your favorite song, but when you play it. But when you randomly come across it, it's like the greatest it was the greatest bonus ever.
Did you ever do like send in a request and it'd be like, send us your request and dedicate it to someone, and you're like, honey, wait for it. In the next 30 to 45 minutes they're gonna play our song.
No, I never did that.
This one goes out to Amber. Tom says he'll never leave you.
This one goes out to the feisty piranha.
And Aaron says he's your guy. You be the judge of that.
Clint says I'll be your man bun.
Jamie says you want to get together? You'll have to mull it over.
Oh, kill me now.
No, we can't do that. We have a...
Make it go away.
We have a question of the day to do.
The day?
Jamie's question of the day on 100.7 The Score is presented by Bizarre Solutions. Call them today for a free cybersecurity audit.
Zoink, Scoob. Excuse me. I would like to go to the NFL.
Okay.
If we can.
Just go.
I told you in the break to bring up last year's playoff bracket, so you have all 14 teams in front of you.
Mm.
It would be a miracle if the playoffs looked exactly like they did last year, at least the specific teams that are in between the 14 next year. I want to know who's most likely to miss the playoffs that was in the playoffs this year, and vice versa for you, who's most likely to make the playoffs that didn't last year.
Okay, so I think the easiest answer on the most likely to make, I say it's likely and then I have a question mark, is the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
You're adding a major piece there with Mr. Rogers.
Hello, neighbor.
I think the most likely to be bounced is an answer that I'm not going to like. The Giants.
Hmm. The Giants. I think maybe a step back from the momentum, and now that Daniel Jones has been paid, or just all
around?
I just think they
won a lot of close games, and I think they really weren't as good as their record really showed.
Okay. That would make my short list of who I have in mind. Kyler, who's making the playoffs next year that didn't, and who's missing? Your hands are on your face, like,
yeah.
You're very stressed about this.
No,
she's,
I was
really bothered.
No, there's just a lot of names.
She wants to say that the Cowboys aren't going to make it, but is scared of her father.
No, I think he has the same worry about it.
She wants to say that the Eagles aren't going to make it, but she's scared of her brother.
I just don't think that they're not going to make it. But
she's also not scared of him.
Yeah. I was going to say that I think San Francisco will make it again. That's what I was going to say. But and then you have to say someone that wasn't on there.
Well, someone who was going to make it that wasn't there last year, and then someone who was there last year that'll not be at the party.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did that completely wrong. Okay, then I'll say.
Come on, Jeff and Chuck. You got to pay attention better.
What'd you call me?
Jeff and Chuck.
What'd you call me? It's the same thing we just asked about man bun and mullet.
Yeah.
I guess I'll say that the Cowboys won't make it. I'll say that. Wow. Who will be in there? I don't know. That's my answer for that. IDK. That's the new team that
IDK.
I just came up with.
It's a really good franchise. Well, that's basically like the name I thought of when I thought of the Washington football team.
Half of
IDK.
The teams, yeah.
IDK. Who else do you think is a threat to make it, Clint?
So when I think of threats to make it, the Jets start off for me. And with that, it actually bumps. I go to the AFC and look at Miami. And I know that they have weapons. I'm curious what plays out with the Tyreek Hill stuff. I'm curious if they can keep Tua healthy. But if the Dolphins were in the NFC, I wouldn't have a question that they'd make it. But they're in the AFC, and they're already kind of on that fine line of can they keep up defensively. And can they keep taking the right steps offensively? So I look at the Dolphins missing and then the Jets making it. I also have questions about Seattle next year. That's when I look at for possibly missing it. And so I went Dolphins, I went Seahawks, and then I went Giants as far as most likely to miss. As far as making it that wasn't there last year, Jets at the top of my list. I look at the Lions and go, They were knocking on the door, and if they just keep improving, then that division is a lot weaker now. Now, it's still going to be the Vikings that win it, But they shouldn't have the regular two times beating by the Packers. Bottom line, 100.7 the score.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.